Loud and Clear.
Welcome back to Loud and Clear. I'm Brian Becker.
And I'm Walter Smolarik, filling in for John Kiriakou.
In the newest reflection of his America First policy, Donald Trump is pushing the Emir of Kuwait to purchase a $10 billion fighter jet. He's pushing this deal on behalf of a private company, that would be Boeing, the jet manufacturer, because the company has become impatient that this sale has stalled. We're joined from New Mexico by Greg Mello. He's the executive director of the Los Alamos Study Group. Greg Mello, welcome back.
Yes, nice to be back.
Greg, you know, this is a story. Reuters was covering it, arming the world inside Trump's Buy American drive to expand weapons exports. I just wonder if this is unusual for the head of state or for the American head of state to function as a cheerleader for a leading aerospace company or a leading arms company or defense contractor trying to promote international sales. Is this a real story? And if so, what's the history?
Well, it is a real story, and I'm not the best one to look at the history comprehensively, but I think that certainly administrations are constantly trying to increase arms sales, and it's a matter of degree. And I think that there have been waves. So, you know, there was a controversial, huge arms sale under the Carter administration to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia involving refueling tankers. And so it's not new. It may be new in degree or new recently.
Yeah, let's talk about the role of arms sales as part of U.S. foreign policy. How important is that?
Well, I think it's very important. And I think that's the benefit to Boeing is, of course, very real and very present. And it could come back in hidden ways as well. But these sales lock other countries into relationships and dependence with the suppliers of the weapons. So there's parts and there's training and there's, you buy the weapon and you need to maintain it for a long time, decades. So it cements alliances and it prevents other countries from doing the same thing. So there's a geopolitical aspect of this that I think is really important.
Yeah, let's talk also about what's going on specifically in the Middle East, because this is for Kuwait. The U.S. is trying to get Kuwait to speed up the sale. It would seem to me that Kuwait isn't, you know, poised to really go to war against anybody, the royal family. And yet we also have a lot of talk about Trump trying to create an Arab NATO for intervention purposes in Syria. What do you make of all that?
That's a really good point. And Mohammed bin Salman just volunteered ground forces. You probably saw that in Syria. So, yes, U.S. arms exports to the Middle East are about half of the U.S. total exports. And it's an important mechanism by which the petrodollar is maintained. The Middle East is clearly of transcendent geopolitical importance to the U.S. It is, I think that maintaining as much control as possible there and cementing alliances and long-term relationships would be among the most important of any U.S. foreign policy objectives.
And, you know, in terms of domestic politics, these companies are very clever about how they arrange their supply chain, right, in terms of, congressional districts and states with key senators. Talk a little bit about that process.
Well, usually in a big arms procurement, arms manufacturers are careful to spread the supply chain around to key congressional districts in order to make sure that there's enduring strong political support for a weapon system, and it would, especially if there's any kind of cost overrun, which is normal. And so, yes, there's a domestic political component of this, and it's really, I think that moving up, 60,000 feet looking at this, this is part of the militarization of our politics and our society and our manufacturing base. And something that Seymour Melman started warning about in the 1950s, how we could hollow out our manufacturing infrastructure as it became more and more devoted to weapons. So in a way, what Trump is doing here is undercutting his Make America Great Again initiative by, if all we can do is export weapons, That's not going to make America great again.
Greg Mello, the executive director of the Los Alamos Study Group, is our guest today. We're talking about the fact that the Trump administration, and Trump in particular, in person, is lobbying on behalf of Boeing, the major aerospace company and primary U.S. defense contractor, for arms sales to Kuwait and arms sales that have been stalled. I'm looking at a report that came out last month. It's from the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. They said that, one, that the U.S. accounts for about 30% of all of the arms that are sold internationally in terms of arms exports. And I want to read a couple sentences to you. The global transfer of major weapon systems between 2013 and 2017 rose by 10% compared with the five-year period before that, in a continuation of an upward trend that had begun two decades ago. The U.S., which is the world's biggest exporter, increased its sales between those two periods by 25%. It supplied arms to as many as 98 states worldwide. Those are governments, countries, accounting for more than a third of global exports. Russia, the world's second biggest exporter, saw a decrease of 7.1% in its overall volume of arms exports. U.S. exports were 58% higher than those of Russia. So we have Russia, we have the United States, France, Germany, China. You know, these are all of the countries are using arms sales as a business mechanism. And so you have behind militarism and the trend towards militarism and the trend towards an arms race, also, you know, financial incentives. This kind of lethal project for the world, arms sales, is actually incentivized as a form of good business. And perhaps in the case of the United States, this lobby seems to me to be so powerful that the Defense Department or the lobbyists around the Defense Department, that it constitutes, as Seymour Melman, the person you were mentioning earlier from Columbia, a power almost greater than the civilian branch of government.
Yes, exactly. Military expenditures exceed the civilian discretionary budget of the United States. So financially, it's bigger. It's certainly less haphazard in terms of its political lobbying. So I think that, yes, it is more powerful. I think that one of the features of Trump's announcement that was there's a code word in there, using the, quote, full resources of the United States government, end quote, behind arms transfers. That means spooks also. I think it means the gloves go off, you know, bribes and blackmail are part of this world on the importer side. So these are complex deals. They involve a lot of considerations. And I guess hearing you recite these terrible realities reminds me that this has a very personal aspect for the decision makers, many of whom go quickly into industry and cash in on their military experience in Europe as well as the U.S. So the NATO officials are often closely tied with the arms industries in their own countries and with ours. So the decision makers are personally making a lot of money and building their careers, as well as living their entire intellectual and moral lives within the militaristic universe.
Yeah, and that's something that never gets brought out. I mean, what we're taught in school is, you know, because our children, just as we were compelled to put our hands in our heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance to reinforce patriotism. There's the old cliche, of course, that patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels. But the other reality is that patriotism in this context, in the context of a calculated policy and system of militarism, patriotism becomes really pretextual, whereby the people of the country are asked to fork over their tax dollars to an industry that really is promoting war because war is good business. In other words, the so-called principles that surround nationalism or patriotism, in fact, really becomes just a Madison Avenue advertising ploy.
Certainly does. And, you know, you have media like CNN, you know, talking about the beauty of our weapons. This, of course, we saw an arms bazaar in the form of the Syria strike, where it seemed like many kinds of weapons from many kind of platforms all got in on the act. And I think it's important to realize that these arms sales are killing people now. And Yemen is the really literally poster child for all of this, the worst humanitarian catastrophe since World War II. And these arms sales to Saudi Arabia are the cause of it.
We've been joined from New Mexico by Greg Mello. He's the executive director of the Los Alamos Study Group.
We're completely out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. Be sure to go to our Facebook page, Loud and Clear with Brian Becker, for daily updates. If you enjoy the show and you want your friends to hear it, let us know by liking the page on Facebook. You can also follow us at Loud Clear Radio on Twitter. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you can hear us every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. at 105.5 FM and at 1390 AM. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast at iTunes. Remember, telling the truth is important, but to make a difference, it has to be loud and clear. We'll see you next time.
Loud and Clear.